From the Iowa Agribusiness Radio Network studios in Des Moines, this is Iowa Ag Matters. I'm Riley Smith. In today's show, Andy talks with the Cattlemen's Banquet in Jones County about some of the things they're doing for the Texas wildfires. Dustin talks with Matt Dolch of NK Seeds. And I have coverage of an Iowa pork donation to the Food Bank of Iowa from today. Now here are your hosts, Andy Peterson and Dustin Huffman.
Well, Mark, happy National Ag Day during Ag Week. Lots of appropriate celebrations going on. And, of course, we celebrate agriculture each and every day. But everybody else celebrates agriculture on these few days. Not as often as they should, Dustin, but it's one of those things that we'll take what we can get, I guess, huh?
Yeah, definitely true. You know, it definitely is very true. But, you know, again, happy National Ag Day to everybody out there. Quite an event in Washington. Have you had the chance to go out there and experience that event when out there? It is really
I have
amazing.
Not on the mall. I've seen pictures of it. It looks fantastic. The Agricultural Council of America puts that together with all of the big equipment that makes its way out there. And again, that's, it should be that way every way, in my opinion, but we'll take one day a year, I guess, for now. Lots of stuff to discuss, as always, as we were celebrating agriculture this past weekend, one of the largest gatherings that anybody will be a part of this year taking place with the Jones County Cattlemen. The ribeye was as good as it's ever been. It was reported that way. I would second, though, that and third and fourth that report. So we'll hear about raising money for wildfire relief with our friends at Texas or in Texas as well. We're out in the fields with our friends at NK Seeds and our friends at Iowa Pork, along with the Iowa Egg Council and Farm Credit, to a partnership with the Cyclone football team, helping feed hungry Iowans, an appropriate celebration on National Ag Day as well. Into the marketplace we go now with Joe Camp from Comstock, visiting with Mark.
Joined today by Joe Camp of Comstock for our opening market discussion. Joe, what's happening in the grains?
It's a quiet start to the week here, and that's following through on this Tuesday morning. We've got corn and wheat slightly higher with the soybeans lower. For soybeans, the story as we start off here is more of the same, with a lot of focus on what's going on down in South America. For Brazil, those farmers there are more active sellers as we've got the soybean harvest past about two-thirds complete. In the states closer to the equator, like Mato Grosso, they're all but finished. So that's beans hitting the pipeline and weighing a bit on international values. Well, we also see some better weather across Argentina to help weigh on the market here, generally speaking. You've got for corn and wheat a different, more positive storyline here for corn. Last week, some signs of interest in U.S. corn exports from China. They showed up for the first time in several weeks on the weekly report. And then on Friday morning, one of those flash sales announcements. Anytime we've got an export deal for more than 100,000 tons, those show up on a daily basis. And there was 125,000 metric tons of corn sold to a quote-unquote unknown destination. And that always makes us wonder about whether China's buying. And then for wheat, a bit of an escalation again of tensions and the conflict in the war in Ukraine, with Russia targeting some of the infrastructure in Ukraine's key Odessa port city. So mixed storylines and mixed prices so far this morning.
So that jump up yesterday from wheat was unfortunately due to that war news, but it did offer some support there?
Yeah, it seems that's linked, and it's unfortunate that, like you bring up, that we've got to talk about a possible disruption after, on Friday, some of those attacks on Odessa and around grain infrastructure in that area. If that continues, it's likely going to impact wheat quite considerably here. It has been Russia and Ukraine that have been at the bottom of the market in terms of wheat prices, and that's provided extra competition for U.S. exporters in general, and so that's something we got to continue to monitor here. Again, in the past, thankfully it hasn't been something where we've seen a huge disruption or restriction of flows out of that Black Sea region, but it's a war, and that can spark a change in a hurry, as we're seeing here so far this week.
Well, we'll have more from Joe Camp coming up later on in the program when he talks about livestock markets. But right now, Andy Peterson's here with his first round of the Three Bag Iowa Ag Matters.
Number three.
coming together to kick off National Ag Week by sharing a meal and celebrating all things good about agriculture, not just on the production side, but also end products. The best ribeye of the year living up to its billing at the Jones County Beef Banquet in Monticello.
Great crowd. We served 697, and I think it was one of the best ribeyes I ever had at our county banquet. If you come to Jones County and see us cooking steaks, you'll know why we do an excellent job.
Jones County Cattlemen President Doug Kurtz says they also passed the hat to help Texas cattlemen recover from those nasty wildfires. Jones County Cattlemen matching all donations and will send $5,400 to help other cattlemen in need.
Number two.
Sacking hunger on this National Ag Day, the Iowa Pork Producers Association, along with the Farm Credit Services of America and the Iowa Egg Council, teamed up with Iowa State Cyclones football during the 2023 season. Each time the Cyclones defense tackled or sacked an opponent's quarterback behind the line of scrimmage, each organization committed to a certain amount of donations. And over the course of the season, the 21 sacks led to a total of 4,200 pounds of pork, $21,000, and 4,200 dozen eggs. Iowa Pork Producers President Matt Gent will present the pork donation today to the Food Bank of Iowa, along with Iowa Secretary of Agriculture Mike Nagg, where he says, quote, especially in today's economy with extremely high food prices, pork is an, quote, economical source of protein, a good quality meat, and a great way to feed a family.
Number one.
Coming together to kick off National Ag Week by sharing a meal and celebrating all things good about agriculture, not just on the production side, but also end products, the best ribeye of the year living up to its billing at the Jones County Beef Banquet in Monticello.
Great crowd. We served 697, and I think it was one of the best ribeyes I ever had at our county banquet. If you come to Jones County and see us cooking steaks, you'll know why we do an excellent job.
Jones County Cattlemen President Doug Kurtz says they also passed the hat to help Texas cattlemen recover from those nasty wildfires. Jones County Cattlemen matching all donations and will send $5,400 to help our neighbors to the south. I'm E.D. Peterson. Those are your three big Iowa Ag Matters.
Go on the offensive against weeds with Antares Complete from Helena. Antares Complete eliminates early weed competition with long-lasting residual control of broadleaf weeds and grasses. With a balanced premix of three herbicides, Antares Complete combats herbicide resistance and helps soybeans achieve a faster, more vigorous start to the season. Take a tactical first strike against weeds and protect your soybeans early with Antares Complete. Always follow label instructions and check registration before use. Contact your Helena representative to learn more.
We came together to share a meal and celebrate all things Eastern Iowa agriculture and the vital role that all of us play in producing a sustainable food supply. We'll talk about that coming up next on this National Ag Day on the Iowa Agribusiness Radio Network.
Well, as Andy's been talking about, we saw that the Jones County Cattlemen had their big event over the past weekend, and he was there to partake of the ribeye supper and also talk about the industry and things that are being accomplished there. And he files this report with us here on Iowa Ag Matters.
The best ribeye of the year lived up to its billing, as always, at the Jones County Cattlemen's Banquet last weekend, and then marketing meeting here last night with a great crowd to hear from new cattlemen CEO Brian Whaley, Doug Kurtz, president of the Jones County Cattlemen. And it's always a pleasure to MC, first of all. Great night to celebrate agriculture in Jones County.
Oh, yeah. We had a perfect night, great crowd. We served 697, and I think it was one of the best ribeyes I ever had at our county banquet.
Yeah, I would agree. And then last night was another fantastic ribeye. And that was the feedback that I got, is you guys haven't forgotten how to cook them.
No. If you come to Jones County and see us cooking steaks, you'll see our grill, and you'll know why we do an excellent job.
Certainly the producer audience last night at the marketing meeting, a lot of non-farm folks so that you reach out to promote beef at the banquet, and really year-round, it's one of those things that you really take pride in representing Jones County cattlemen.
Oh, yeah. At the producer meeting, we had 62 members from our organization come and listen to Chip Flory talk about the markets and a little bit about politics, what's driving the cattle market and what haven't you.
Yeah. Talk a little bit about beef promotion throughout the year, too. You do a lot of grilling, certainly, yes. First and foremost. Put that quality product on display.
Oh, yeah. We have a lot of events. Seems like every month we're doing something. Going forward, we have several grillings, you know, here, April, May, graduation seasons and stuff. June, we participate in the Ag Breakfast in Jones County along with the dairy and the pork producers. Moving forward, end of June, we do the performance beef where we support the 4-H and FFA in a market class show with results on the rail being presented at the Jones County Fair. July comes, we have the both fairs, Wyoming Fair and the Jones County Fair, which we support with beef donations to the 4-H food stand and the Wyoming food stand. In August, we do a membership coordination event where we invite our members in for a free steak supper and a round of golf if they want and stuff. And yeah, we're always busy doing things.
Excellent. Well, great work. You've got certainly a strong base of support from the cattle industry, but also from the urban audience in Jones County, Doug. We appreciate it.
Yep. Thank you, Andy. Thanks for the support.
Wildfires have devastated Texas ranches, burning millions of acres of rangeland, destroying buildings and fences, and killing thousands of cattle. You can help by donating to the Texas Panhandle Wildfire Relief Fund. To make a tax-deductible donation, go to texasfarmbureau.org and click on the red Wildfire Relief Fund button at the top of the page. 100% of every dollar you donate goes directly to a Texas rancher to help them rebuild. Go to texasfarmbureau.org to donate. This message from the Iowa Agribusiness Radio Network.
March is game time. As our favorite teams are gearing up for a tournament run, Iowa's 40,000 soybean farmers are preparing for the spring planting season ahead. The Iowa Soybean Association is ready to team up with farmers to deliver a winning game plan through innovative research, tools, and technical support that maximizes their soy checkoff investment. Make 2024 your championship season by visiting iasoybeans.com today. The Iowa Soybean Association, celebrating 60 years of moving the industry forward.
Well, I know you've given us the review on the ribeye, Andy, but other takeaways you had from the event, what kind of things were you able to converse about there?
Actually, Doug gave us the review on the ribeye. As when he says it's one of the best that they've ever cooked, that's saying something, because that guy cooks more beef in a year than a lot of restaurant cooks do. That's one of the things the Jones County Cattlemen are just excellent at, is beef promotion and red meat promotion, and we need it, is one of the issues that came up during the banquet, and we can talk about this a little bit later on, is the dollars behind some of the opposition, meaning lab-grown proteins and the unhealthiness that, for one, that comes along with that. But not only do they do such a good job in promoting Iowa's high-quality red meat products, but supporting others in need. I mean, over $5,400 was raised, passing the hat, and then a match from the Jones County Cattlemen for our friends down in Texas and helping them recover from wildfires. So it's a great night for the agricultural industry of Eastern Iowa, there's no doubt. We take a look at cash prices, statewide elevators next.
And it's time now for a check of your basis numbers here on Iowa Ag Matters for this Tuesday, March the 19th. I'm Dustin Hoffman. Let's start at ADM Burlington. They're 15 cents over on corn, 4.52. Soybeans, 14 cents under at 11.70. Cargill and Eddyville, it's a nickel over on corn today, cash bid 4.42. New Co-op Algona, 14 cents under on corn, 4.23. Soybeans, 55 cents under with a cash bid at 11.29. Ag State Sheldon, a dime under on corn, 4.27. Soybeans, 70 cents under at 11.14. Ag State Alta, 21 cents under on corn, 4.16. Soybeans, 60 cents under at 11.24. Cargill Cedar Rapids, they're 7 cents over on corn, 4.44. Soybeans, a nickel under, cash bid 11.79. Nexus Co-op Marble Rock, a nickel under on corn, 4.32. Soybeans, 50 cents under at 11.34. Lincoln Way Ethanol Nevada, 2 cents over on corn, 4.39. ADM Des Moines, 12 cents under on soybeans, cash bid 11.72. New Co-op Red Oak, 15 cents under on corn, 4.22. Soybeans, 50 cents under at 11.34. Mid-Iowa Cooperative Green Mountain, 28 cents under on corn, 4.09 for the cash bid. Soybeans, 53 cents under. They're at 11.31. New Co-op Sheraton, 30 cents under on corn, 4.07. Soybeans, 55 cents under at 11.29. Walk-On Feed Ranch, 23 cents under on corn, 4.14. Soybeans, 43 cents under at 11.41. New Co-op Glidden, 14 cents under on corn, 4.23 for the cash bid. Soybeans, 50 cents under at 11.34. Innovative Ag Services Farley, 18 cents under on corn, 4.19. Soybeans, 39 cents under. Cash bid, 11.45. And at Cargill and Muscatine, they're 12 cents under on corn, 4.25. Soybeans, 12 cents under. Their cash bid, 11.72. Cash, corn, and soybean bids are subject to change without notice. Always check with your local elevator when making sales to obtain the most recent price. And that's been a check of the elevator numbers here on Iowa Ag Matters. We'll be right back.
March is game time. As our favorite teams are gearing up for a tournament run, Iowa's 40,000 soybean farmers are preparing for the spring planting season ahead. The Iowa Soybean Association is ready to team up with farmers to deliver a winning game plan through innovative research, tools, and technical support that maximizes their soy checkoff investment. Make 2024 your championship season by visiting iasoybeans.com today. The Iowa Soybean Association, celebrating 60 years of moving the industry forward.
Well, we've got more market information still to come here on Iowa Ag Matters. That includes a full rundown of the midday numbers. Find out where those grain and livestock markets are sitting here. Mark and Andy will have that come up for you next. We also want to remind you about the free market podcast through the Iowa Agribusiness Radio Network. You can find them on Google, Amazon, Apple, Spotify, and Podbean. More Iowa Ag Matters still to come.
Now, later today, 5 o'clock, is our e-newsletter, and I will write the intro for that. Iowa Ag Matters rolling along. Andy and Dustin Riley will join us a little bit later on with his coverage of the Iowa Pork Producers Sack Hunger donations. Look forward to that. For now, he's making us sound good. And as I'll write in that intro, Mother Nature reminding us maybe that it's still March, and yet that allows for some gathering of supplies and distribution of resources in some cases in preparation for planting season. And those final conversations with trusted advisors like the one Dustin is about to have now with NK Seeds' Matt Dolch.
All right, so Iowa farmers chomping at the bit. We know that winter wasn't much of a winter. We did get some, but we're not quite there yet. But of course, they're getting excited. Planters are getting out, getting the once over or twice over. What kind of things are Iowa farmers need to be thinking about, especially from the NK perspective going into this growing season?
Well, certainly several items top of mind. You think about corn rootworm management, continued to be a tough challenge, taking $1 billion away from farmers across the country here in corn rootworm damage each season. NK offers a great lineup of not only genetics, but we also offer Duracade Viptera products. Five new corn hybrids for this season offering Duracade to manage corn rootworm, best in class from a management perspective. So look for Duracade Viptera trait packages controlling 16 above and below ground insects.
You know, when we talk about there's so many products out there to hit the corn rootworm, seems to be the top target of every corn company and every crop protection company. What is it about what NK has to offer that sets you guys apart from everybody else?
Duracade is a unique protein and trait here provided by Syngenta in the NK brand. So that's something here that can offer different modes of action to manage some of that resistance. We like multiple modes of action. So you look at Duracade with AgriSure rootworm, other products there to help drive that. I think use something different than what you've used in the past. So don't utilize the same technology each season to manage corn rootworm. Not only do we recommend a soil applied insecticide, but we also recommend that trait, and rotating that trait can certainly help do that.
And while corn rootworm is top of mind, it's obviously the only thing we're thinking about, and we're in Iowa, whether it's drought tolerance, whether it's tar spot moving its way from the east to the west, there's lots of things that these farmers are looking at. How does NK help you mitigate some of that, and also with Syngenta's backing?
Well, family farms in southwest Iowa, so we've got a vested interest in the Iowa farmer for sure. And you think about the NK corn portfolio, looking for products with artesian technology, maximizing yield when it does rain, increasing yield when it doesn't. I think that can help manage that. You look at Viptera for above ground control, making sure that you control broad lepidopteran pests like corn earworm, western bean cutworm, some of those things that can take yield away. And then I think just overall looking at those genetics. So NK's offered 32 new hybrids over the past two seasons, 12 new for 2025. And that's a huge amount of our portfolio, 40% of our portfolio brand new. So not your grandparents' NK.
All right. Any other things that farmers really need to consider as they're looking ahead, getting ready to go, especially when you're looking at it from the southwest perspective, but even statewide, what kind of things they really need to look for?
Yeah, statewide, thinking about just disease tolerance in general. Tar spot, a huge issue. It continues to creep and take yield away from corn growers. We've got a very robust, strong, industry-leading package in the NK corn lineup to manage tar spot. Then even Goss's wilt moving to that western side, you know, we see that kind of creeping in various seasons. So really important here. And just thinking about, again, new genetics, new traits. traits here? How do you rotate things on the farm to continue to push that yield ceiling?
All right, folks want to get that conversation started, look at what they have to offer from NK. What's the best way to do that?
Look at our Amplifier blog. That's out there online. And then also NK Seeds website, nkseeds.com. We can put you in touch with a local ag retailer and also one of our NK sales reps here to help answer any questions you've got on your farm.
Thanks again to Matt Dolch of NK Seeds for talking with us and getting us all geared up with the information we need, much less the products we need here for a successful 2024. Andy Peterson standing by. He's got his next round of the Three Big Iowa Ag Matters for us right now.
Number three.
Coming together to kick off National Ag Week by sharing a meal and celebrating all things good about agriculture, not just on the production side, but also end products. The best ribeye of the year living up to its billing at the Jones County Beef Banquet in Monticello.
Great crowd. We served 697, and I think it was one of the best ribeyes I've ever had at our county banquet. If you come to Jones County and see us cooking steaks, you'll know why we do an excellent job.
Jones County Cattlemen President Doug Kurtz says they also passed the hat to help Texas cattlemen recover from those nasty wildfires. Jones County Cattlemen matching all donations and will send $5,400 to help other cattlemen in need.
Number two.
Expanding availability for locally produced products to be available direct to the consumer. That's the point of the Choose Iowa program. And to celebrate National Ag Week, Iowa Secretary of Agriculture Mike Nag will announce the recipients 26 of those value-added grants during an event at Gortham Farm & Company near Indianola. Adding that Choose Iowa is the state's signature brand for Iowa-grown, Iowa-raised, and Iowa-made food products.
Number one.
A hot topic among kneading season here in Iowa among red meat producers. How much higher can grocery store prices go before the consumer starts to back away? Well, Dr. Glenn Tonsor, Kansas State University Extension Livestock Market Economist, says so far we haven't seen it.
And a summary on demand in February compared to January is domestic retail, so think grocery store for at-home consumption. Demand was up for 6 of the 8 evaluated products, which is great. Conversely, we'll look over to food service. February demand for dinner meals away from home compared to January was lower in all 8 examined cases.
Now, he says he does see some indication that consumers may be switching to some less expensive cuts at the store. I'm Andy Peterson. Those are the Three Big Iowa Ag Matters.
Go on the offensive against weeds with Antares Complete from Helena. Antares Complete eliminates early weed competition with long-lasting residual control of broadleaf weeds and grasses. With a balanced premix of 3 herbicides, Antares Complete combats herbicide resistance and helps soybeans achieve a faster, more vigorous start to the season. Take a tactical first strike against weeds and protect your soybeans early with Antares Complete. Always follow label instructions and check registration before use. Contact your Helena representative to learn more.
Well, obviously, we've been celebrating agriculture, maybe from a little different perspective today on National Ag Day. A lot of these events going on that involve the end use of products, Dustin, and a very cool 3-way partnership coming to fruition here with a nice food donation to the Food Bank of Iowa a little later on today.
Yeah, exactly. In fact, it's going on as we speak. Riley will be joining us coming right back from the event at the Iowa Food Bank. Of course, Iowa pork producers and the Iowa State University being involved there with their SAC Hunger event. Of course, bringing up the football players and helping get everything to, you know, together to help fight hunger in the state. Of course, we try to fight hunger, and agriculture is obviously fighting hunger all across the country and trying to help all across the world. We see that happening. As we saw earlier, we talked about Jones County and the wanting to pitch in to help out with cattle hosses and helping those farmers out there. Farmers always wanting to help out and lend a helping hand for those that sometimes just need it. And that includes donating products to the food bank, donating resources to the food bank. And of course, that is a great resource we have here in Des Moines to help people that are less fortunate. So Riley have that coming up a little later on in the program. We're going to take a look at the midday markets first, see what's going on with those livestock and grain markets next on Iowa Ag Matters. This is the check of the midday numbers here on Iowa Ag Matters. In for Mark Magnuson today, I'm Dustin Huffman. Working right now with John Heinberg of Total Farm Marketing. And John, seeing things reverse to the upside here as the day has gone on. What's at the backside of this turnaround Tuesday?
Yeah, we got a little bit of turnaround Tuesday at least going on, especially in soybean market right now. But not a lot of buying strength. That's the biggest thing. We're just seeing prices kind of continue to just gravitate around here, especially in that corn market. 440 on the May seems like the sellers kind of step back in, or the buyers dry up, and we drop to the bottom end, and then, you know, get a little bid down there about 6-8 cents down. So again, just feels like corn market doesn't want to really go anywhere. Soybeans at least a little firmer today, getting some profit taking probably off of that soybean meal market. That's been helping out prices here. But again, the Brazilian prices continue to run well underneath U.S. supplies. We're hearing talk Brazilian farmers are in sell mode, so that hedge pressure comes in, you know, weighs on that market. You know, obviously, if we got a nice rally off the lows here in beans for us for 80, 90 cents, so do they. And they're taking advantage of that. And then lastly, wheat market here. Yeah, we've actually reacted pretty nicely to a lot of negative news here the past handful of days. Maybe it's Ukraine issues kind of popping up again in terms of some of those drone strikes. I think the market's really kind of moved past those. I just think we're range bound here and we're working ourselves off the bottom of the range. These are wheat futures trading 6, 7, 8 cents higher based on whatever, you know, species we're looking at in terms of the classes of wheat.
And that's been a check of how the grains are doing. Andy Peterson standing by with a look at the livestock numbers.
Beef first, as always, here on National Ag Day. Daily estimated slaughter total numbers 120,000 head. That is 9,000 more than a week ago and 4,000 less than a year ago. As far as the boxes go, 50 loads of choice cuts selling at $313.33, up $1.43, select $303.05, 65 cents higher on 19 loads of movement, and that spread is above 10 bucks now at 10.28. As far as pork goes, daily estimated slaughter nodal numbers coming in at 444,000 head. That's 2,000 more than a week ago and 15,000 less than a year ago. Cash market wise, we wrap up yesterday's numbers for comparison purposes. Barrels and gilts producers sold on a carcass basis. Negotiated purchases finished the day about an average run of 4,700 head. Weighted average price down 28 cents, 79.66. As far as the formula purchases go, about 157,000 head of sales. Weighted average price 81.96. So that market was about $1.20 higher. As far as what's happening today so far, over 2,700 head of negotiated purchases, 94 cents stronger on the weighted average price, 79.86. Formula purchases, 115,000 head of sales, weighted average price of 82.23. So that market is 26 cents higher.
March is game time. As our favorite teams are gearing up for a tournament run, Iowa's 40,000 soybean farmers are preparing for the spring planting season ahead. The Iowa Soybean Association is ready to team up with farmers to deliver a winning game plan through innovative research, tools, and technical support that maximizes their soy checkoff investment. Make 2024 your championship season by visiting iasoybeans.com today. The Iowa Soybean Association, celebrating 60 years of moving the industry forward.
March corn up 2 1/4 at 4.38 1/4. Soybeans unchanged now at 11.87 3/4. Soy meal $1.50 higher at 3.33.40. Soy oil back down 17 cents at 48.53. On the Merck live cattle are down 60 cents at 187.97. Feeders down 45 cents at 254.65. Lean hogs down $1.15 at 85.67. And that's been your check of the midday numbers here on Iowa Ag Matters. I'm Dustin Hoffman. Well, as promised, Joe Camp here from Comstock Investments to talk about what is going on with those livestock numbers. He rejoins Mark Magnuson right now to tell us what's going on with cattle and hogs.
Let's flip over to the other side of the ag marketplace and what is happening with the livestock complex.
Back up for the cattle, we had a rough down day last week, and then all of a sudden some rebound strength here to look at. Not too far off of recent highs for live cattle futures. Feeders are lagging a little further behind, but Monday a big up day with more than $3 of gains for the May contract. We look at, you know, the fundamentals, and they're still marked by short fed cattle supplies and really pretty solid demand. I would talk about how optimistic we are for meat demand heading into the spring season, given how good weather has been. But of course, now we're talking about this next winter storm kind of leaving us as we transition into the new season. But overall, in early Easter and what looks ahead to be warmer than normal temperatures throughout the months of April, May, that should support overall consumption. And And that's still indicated by what we're watching in these cutout values, with beef averages up about 10% from a year ago. So consumers still really snapping up beef in a big way, and that should turn around to help improve these packer margins, which in turn will support cash bids, we believe, from here.
And Joe, we've talked a lot about, you know, what we would need to see to rebuild the cattle herd, and I guess what would the conditions would need to be to have that happen. But could you kind of refill us in on that, and what we would need to see happen as far as getting those conditions to where they would need to be to change things and actually start to rebuild the herd?
Right. It helps, for one, that we've got this recovery for prices so far this calendar year. I mean, we're seeing live cattle futures up, you know, some $25 from their December lows. That puts them within about $10 from their all-time highs marked out last September. So, you know, the potential for profitability is the number one motivator for rebuilding this herd going forward. But beyond that, it has been that we want to see improvement for pasture conditions across the southern plains, the heavy grazing states, and we had that throughout most of the winter. Unfortunately, we talked a bit about the reversal of this drought abatement in the Texas Panhandle, where they had that a huge wildfire, and with dry weather expanding again in Oklahoma and Kansas, it's a concern that we're really going to struggle to gain traction on this effort to grow the calf crop. But overall, we do see signs of that starting to occur later this year, given that that number one condition stays generally true, that we've got some potential for profit at these levels, which lately the board and then in turn the cash market have started to unfold.
Now that the calendar shows March, prep for the 2024 planting season is well upon us, and we'd like to remind you of a few extra steps to help reduce the safety risk during the heat of that planting season. There's the obvious: make sure all that safety equipment is in proper working order as part of your routine preparations, but also try to rest up, as chronic fatigue can have the same effect on your body as drugs and alcohol, and slowed reaction times can be dangerous. This message furnished by the Iowa Agribusiness Radio Network.
Well, all right, and we just had a little bit ago the Iowa pork producers making a big donation at the Iowa Food Bank. Riley Smith was there this morning. He'll have more for us coming up here on the Iowa Agribusiness Radio Network. This is Iowa Ag Matters. Well, Russ Parker had a chance to visit with Leo Bowes of Case IH, talking about their newest equipment when they're at Commodity Classic as we're getting ready to get geared up for 2024.
I'm with Leo Bowes at the Case IH exhibit. And Leo, if you can tell us a little bit about what you do, and then we're going to talk about the AF-11.
If I could paint a picture to show the listeners behind me, is the new AF-11, right? Really are focus in on capacity, technology, and overall runtime. AF-11 delivers on that. And for my farm background, you know, looking at capacity of this machine, it all starts up with a new design corn head. So a C500 series corn header from the divider point to the rear auger, total redesign. So it picks cleaner, picks faster, and ultimately gives us that overall throughput that we're trying to set with this machine. But when we look at this machine, from feeder house to rear spreader, totally redesigned from the ground up.
Yeah.
So when you look at bringing that thicker crop mat into the dual rotors, so axial flow rotors, over 47 mm-hmm. years of history, technology, mm-hmm. get into an all-new cleaning system, so an active and dynamic cleaning system to ensure that we're going to save all that grain that we've tried to grow all year long. And then clean grain elevator capable up to 10,000 bushel an hour. No, that's not what the machine can do. Machine's roughly around 6,500 to 7,500 bushel an hour. So when you look at the grain tank capacity, when you look at those throughputs, 567 bushel that we can hold in the grain tank, we can unload at a 6 bushel per second unload rate. So you run the calculations. For my farm background, it's like, wow, I can get that grain tank unloaded in about 100 seconds. So what that means is now I get that grain cart back to the semi so we can get unloaded. We got all the, you know, logistics now is trying to condense that for the producer. But then taking that residue out the back, totally redesigned, and we have radar spread automation. So we're using radar technology So before we'd have to manually maybe adjust the spread based on wind or crop density. Now it's automatically doing that with radar technology. So whether it's dusty, sunny, it now penetrates that and now can adjust it automatically based on what that crop mat's coming out. So we're setting ourselves up for success for next year's crop as well.
And, you know, just looking at the machine, it looks completely different. This is not your my grandpa's combine.
Well, our industrial design group, exactly right. You get the wow factor when you walk up. It looks like it's that next generation. It's edgy right from the cab all the way through to the rear. If you walk to the back of the combine, you look at the back of it, it almost emulates the front of a Magnum or Steiger. So we try to keep that styling cue all the way through it. But purpose by design is that when you open up the panels, we have a lot of, I would say, service platforms, those areas that we've thought ahead, that we know you're going to have to get into the combine, do some servicing, the modules, the chopper area. Now we have platforms that allow that producer to effectively be more comfortable in those areas versus trying to balance on an area. So we've thought ahead in those areas.
So what about versatility at the corn head? Let's talk a little bit about, you know, what are some of the options that an operator has from that perspective?
Yep, so on the corn head, when we look at specifically, it's about saving grain where it starts there. So the stripper plate area, the deck plates, we now have a cushion deck plate that allows us that cushion deck plate to take the inertia out of that cob hitting that deck plate and, you know, try to eliminate any grain that's going to now come off of that cob. But once that whole cob comes back to that, we have a large cross auger, about 24 inch in diameter. So that's really where we pick up our capacity and the new profile of the floor. So as that crop flows through, it's unrestricted. So we can take that higher capacity, you know, 250 bushel, 265 bushel per acre corn crop, and now get it fed into that combine.
And I assume that the kind of the precision part of the whole equation is right there in the operator's eyesight as well.
Yeah, if we look at getting into the cab, and that's one of our second pillars is technology, dual Pro 1200 displays, so color tablet-style displays. We brought in Harvest Command, which is machine automation, so automatically adjusts rotor speed, cleaning fan speed. And now we have an image of the grain within the grain tank. So what does that mean is, well, you're letting Harvest Command do what it needs to do to make the adjustments, but now you can actually look at the image, so you can look at cracks, brokens, foreign materials, so you can reaffirm what the combine's making for adjustments. So it's getting that insight into the vehicle that you haven't had before.
Go on the offensive against weeds with Antares Complete from Helena. Antares Complete eliminates early weed competition with long-lasting residual control of broadleaf weeds and grasses. With a balanced premix of three herbicides, Antares Complete combats herbicide resistance and helps soybeans achieve a faster, more vigorous start to the season. Take a tactical first strike against weeds and protect your soybeans early with Antares Complete. Always follow label instructions and check registration before use. Contact your Helena representative to learn more.
Another busy day here on Iowa Ag Matters. Thanks so much for joining us. Dustin, appreciate you. Appreciate Riley putting it all together. Thanks to Mark for his help, Russ, of course. And we will join you again tomorrow on Iowa Ag Matters. You can find lots more at iowaagnet.com from your authentic, official, and trusted voice of Iowa agriculture.